tell you what, though, I'd never be more excited for our church people to get up and hug each other's neck as they walk out. Amen. Amen. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to change up. I used to do this every time, but I'm going to start it again. I want you to stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5 says this: Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us, and we are His. His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for Yahweh is good, and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your many blessings. I pray, Father, everything done instead this morning be honored, glorified to Your name. Father, fill us with Your presence and Your Spirit. Father, preach to us Your message that You have for us. In Your Son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Focus is going to be this morning, of course, Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. And we're going to be sharing a little different service this morning. We're going to have several preachers this morning. He's going to be sharing the message with you on our mission trip to New Orleans. And as we look at that today, remember, it's your mission trip. It's not our mission trips. It's not just the one who went, because you supported us. You prayed for us. You provided the means for us to go in many different ways. And most importantly, you prayed for us while we were there. In fact, each of us had some cards that were received, and it was amazing to me to see how specific what your prayers and the statements that you said applied directly. My wife was one of mine, and it was just every day as she encouraged me. Bucky Rowe was one of mine. In fact, one day Bucky Rowe wrote this. He said, I don't know what's going to take place, to paraphrase a little bit, but if God changes the direction, you obey Him. And lo and behold, that morning after reading what he shared that he was praying about, our direction was changed. So revealed to me, God was in control and we were where we needed to be. But how did we get there? What did we find out? What did we not alone share, but what did we hear in that mission trip? First, in your fill in the blank, you're going to have some fill in the blanks this morning, because there's a message you're going to receive this morning about what took place. How do I serve the Lord with gladness? Number one, to serve the Lord with gladness, we must check our heart. Check our heart. First, I want to share with you that before we went, I, Greg Nall, your pastor, was a little apprehensive about going. I was. I larger cities, it's not Union Grove, Alabama, and it's outside of my comfort zone, I'll assure you. And in fact, you know very well, church, that I went there in May for graduation, and I'll just be honest, the family had a bad experience while we were there. In fact, I said, Paige, this is the last time I ever want to come back to New Orleans, Louisiana. She kind of laughed, Greg, you're coming back in July. Oh, yeah, that's right, I remember now. So Greg Nall, your pastor, I had a heart problem. You know what the first message was that Sunday night when we got there? It's about having a heart problem, Brother Andy. God was there with me and for me and in spite of me, and he had a message to share with Greg Nall when he got there. You see, as I shared with you, I was extremely apprehensive, but the message that night come from Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 22. You know, chapter 9, the very first portion talks about Paul's conversion. Well, the first portion actually talks about Paul's persecuting the church. The middle says Paul's conversion, and then you start seeing where in the scriptures where it says a man named Ananias, God said, all right, Ananias, go meet with Paul and share with him. And Ananias was a little apprehensive. Ananias said, wait a minute, Lord, he's the one that's been persecuting the church. Just like Greg Nall when he went down there, wait a minute, Lord, New Orleans is a place where I had a bad experience with my family. I had a heart problem. Do you know what they shared that night? Something I knew all along, but I was taking for granted. God's in control. God's in control. He's not going to make mistakes. He does not make mistakes. He was not surprised when I got there. He'd already been at work before I got there. And when I got there, this poor, wretched, sick vessel, Scripture shared with us, He'll give us the words to say. Greg Knoll can save no one. I didn't go there to save anyone. I just went there to share Jesus and to be hands and feet of Jesus. Even though I was apprehensive, God spoke to me that night. And you know what? What I was apprehensive about, I was still a little nervous. I'll just be honest with you. But I received the richest of blessings. Two things I saw. Just like Union Grove, Alabama, people either run from the Lord or they want to hear about the Lord. And I'll share with you a little bit further in the message how we are no different from people all across this world. And we need Jesus. Step number one, just like was mentioned to us and spoke to me, your pastor, we need to clear up our heart problem. We need to be ready and willing to go. We need to be ready and willing to share. So Gaston, brother, I know you're nervous. Come lead us off. Share us your story.
All right, so I felt led to talk about the homeless ministry because I think it had the most impact on me. But so I was scared to death of the homeless ministry because, like, Jill said we couldn't really bring a backpack because, like, people would pick our pockets. And I was like, this ain't your girl. But so we get down there, and, like, the first guy we go to, he's asleep, and, like, we try to give him, like, this bag, and it has water and food and, like, a little track in it so they can read. And he rolls over, and he's like, no, I don't want one. And he's got a shank in his hand. And I was like, okay, we need to go right now. And so there was a couple people, and I was like, okay, we need to get this done and leave. The better we get to lunch. But so the day goes on, and we go to this one girl, and, like, she's just down. She just lost a job, and, like, she has no home, no income or anything like that. And we go over there, and we're like, okay, well, we got to see her. And then we go over there, and, like, she told us about her story and stuff, and we gave her a bag, and she drank the water and stuff. And then, like, just the look on her face, like, her smile, and just, like, us smiling at her just, like, changed everything. And, like, I was in a group with Summer, Jill, and Elijah, and, like, all of us were like, that was crazy. But I learned two things off of this trip from most, just from the homeless ministry, and, like, a smile, just smiling at somebody can go so long and help everything. And then number two, God will always provide. Like, even these homeless people, like, they must think, well, God doesn't love me or something like that, but that is so not true. I mean, he sent us down there so we could help them. They got water, food, a track, just, I mean, everything. And it was really crazy. Thank you. Thank you.
Bible shares, Paul plants, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. We don't know if we were the first or the 100th, but we're going to rely on the Lord and trust the Lord that he used our actions, our words, our everything to make Christ known. Miss Tammy, will you come share with us a little bit more about what took place?
Well, I think a lot of us were out of our comfort zone. Everybody that knows me knows that my ministry is children. I work with the children here. I love the children. When they get a little bit older, I'm okay with that. Time to pass them on to somebody else. So when Jill first started talking about this trip, there were some things on there to do with children. I'm like, okay, I can do this, children. When Jill said what we were going to do, she said we were going to do prayer walking, food bank, yard work, and the homeless ministry. So I really had to check my heart. Okay, I can prayer walk. I can do that. I can work in a food bank. I can do yard work. Homeless ministry. Ooh, I'm not so sure about that one. So again, like Brother Greg said, I had to check my heart with that one. The first morning we got there, we went to Jackson Square and to the riverfront to serve the homeless. We all had prayer partners. And just my card that day said, just in case you needed a little reminder, nothing is too big for God. I pray that God will give you boldness for the coming days. And then there was Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. So I shared a room with Patsy and Summer, and I was really nervous. And so we prayed, and Patsy prayed. And I don't remember the words, but it was the sweetest prayer I have ever heard, and it calmed my nerves. And then we went to serve the homeless, and I was still a little nervous, but it actually was a good experience. We had some people that were very receptive. We had some people that were hostile. They didn't want anything to do. We had one man that took the tract out of the bag and handed it back to us, and he wouldn't keep it. And when we tried to keep giving it to him, he said, if you're going to do that, then just take the whole bag back. And but it really opened my heart. I've heard a lot of people say serving the homeless was their favorite thing that they did. And I have to say it was one of my favorites, too. And it was a great experience. I was partnered with Brother Greg and Brittany and Ashley and Grace. And it was a wonderful experience. And I'm thankful that that God convinced me to go and to open my heart to that ministry.
Amen. You know what's awesome seeing God at work? This right here. We had heard Tammy's testimony of how it's outside of her comfort zone. But then we get on the streets and here's Tammy.
Sir, 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 I've got something to share with you. He was running from her. But I saw a woman get outside of her comfort zone to share this. Jesus loves you. Amen. It's amazing to see when we clear our heart, get out of the way, let go and let God, what He can accomplish through us.
And I saw just that through, not just Tammy, but every one of them. As we went through the week and the different opportunities that we had and the different things that we were a part of and able to share in and see God at work in. It was amazing to be a part. But the questions that comes throughout my mind as we had our heart check and we got that first day, if you will, under our belt, you might say, and a little apprehension may have started setting back in because of the things we were facing, because we saw that there are a couple of types of people, those who don't want to hear it and those who are wanting to hear, are willing to listen at least. How do we do this? How do we overcome this? Number two in your fill in the blank, how do I serve the Lord with gladness? We not only check our heart, but we share our story. You see, nobody can take away your testimony about what Jesus Christ did in your life. Nobody. That is a permanent situation you have with God, if that's the right word you wanted to say. Nobody can remove your testimony. How you once were this way, you met Christ, and now you are this way. Still a sinner, saved by grace, but searching, and have a place of hope, and His name is Jesus. Nobody can take away our story. So we can share our story. So guess what? Tuesday night, we had worship Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. Tuesday night, the message, as I shared with you, we were kind of started to know what to expect, you might say. Still had some of that apprehension. Maybe we were, self-included, we were getting a little tired because of the day seemed to be long on occasions. And we kind of knew what to expect. We were a little excited and a little apprehensive, all rolled up into one. But here's what we were. We were a little depressed because people were running from us. Because people were saying, I don't want to hear it. I don't know about you, but that's a little depressing that somebody doesn't want to hear about the greatest story ever told, the greatest hope that anyone could ever have. So it just encouraged us that we need to share our story regardless, if God so allowed. And you know what the message was about that night of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10? It was about sharing our story. It's about being saved by grace through faith. It was about how I, Greg Gnarl, we're not immune from making bad choices. I'm a Christ follower. I'm Romans 1:1-6. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But I make mistakes. And the scriptures they shared told how Greg You once was living in sin just like everybody in this world. The only difference between you and a non-believer is that you surrendered. By grace, through faith. So Greg Gnarl, you have a story to tell. Be ready and be willing to tell that story. So that we did. Through the many different things that we had going on. So I'm going to ask Miss Patsy to come share her story about what took place one of those days we were there.
Well, I too have a story about the homeless ministry. I think that probably impacted all of us so much. It was the thing that I think we were all the most nervous about doing. We went to Jackson Square, which is in the French Quarter, on Monday morning. We knew we were going there to hand out these bags to homeless people. And just before I tell that story, I just want to tell you, I too had made a commitment to go on the mission trip. And I made up in my mind that I didn't need to go. I had a foot problem and that I needed to have foot surgery. So I went to the foot doctor and I scheduled foot surgery. And on Monday morning, I went to the gym and I saw my friend Denise. And I said, Denise, I'm not going to New Orleans. I'm going to have foot surgery instead. And I should have known by the look on her face that I needed to start packing my suitcase to go to New Orleans. Because that girl started praying for God to change my heart. And God did change my heart. Jill gave us a sheet, some sheets for us to pray about going to New Orleans. And even though I had already told her that I changed my mind, I wasn't going to go, she gave it to me anyway. And on Sunday morning, after I'd seen Denise on Monday, I took that sheet out of my Bible and started to have my devotion, my quiet time that morning. And the very first devotion that I read in that sheet broke my heart for the people of New Orleans. And so on Monday morning, I called my foot doctor and said, sorry, I've changed my mind. I'm going to have to reschedule my surgery. I'm going to New Orleans. So thank you, Denise. But anyway, on Monday morning, we knew that we were going to be going to Jackson Square to be handing out these bags to the homeless. And all of us were fearful of that. But God just paved the way. I saw such boldness in the group that I was with. I was with Paul and Chandler and Blake. And we just went up to people and gave them the bags. All of us did. Told them that God loved them and encouraged them. We showed them the tracks, encouraged them to read the tracks. So we had done that to several. We had all given away our bags, gone back to the van, replenished, and gone back to Jackson Square. And I think Paul had a couple of bags, not just one, and maybe Blake or Chandler had a couple of bags. Anyway, we were down to three bags. And we ran into Greg and his group, and we felt like that we had covered the area. We saw people sitting around everywhere drinking water and eating protein bars that had come out of those bags. So we really thought that we had covered the area, and we still had these three bags left. So we asked Greg and his group if they had seen anybody else that we might could give some bags to. Greg said we saw two young women sitting on a street corner across the street, and I don't think anybody has given them a bag. So we headed in that direction, and we crossed the street, and there were these two beautiful women, young women, sitting there on that street corner with such hopelessness on their faces. We went up to them and gave them bags, and two of them, Jody and Christina, took the bags from us, from Paul and Chandler, And we started conversation with them, introduced ourselves. And when we introduced ourselves to Jody, she said, "What's my name?" And her friend said, "Her name's Jody." She said, "What's her name?" "Her name's Christina." She pointed to me, "What's your name?" "My name's Patsy." "What's my name?" "My name's Jody." "Your name's Jody." "What's her name?" "Her name's..." So we started this dialogue over and over and over. This young girl asking those questions. "What's my name? What's her name? What's your name? What's his name? What's my name?" Just a dialogue with her. I don't know what has happened in that young girl's mind. I don't know if it was drugs. I don't know what. But something in her mind had captivated her to the point where she just repeating over and over and over that dialogue with me. Paul and Chandler began to share with Christina. She actually took her track out of her bag and began to look at it. And as she did, Paul and Chandler began to share with her the gospel and explain to her what that track said. And she was connecting with them. You could tell. I was having this dialogue with Jody over and over, but also listening to what was going on in the conversation beside me. And I can tell that there was a connection being made there. And that the Holy Spirit was working in that situation. And then suddenly, I noticed a hat laying upside down on the ground with maybe like a little bit of change in it and a couple of bills. And about the time I noticed that, this man in a red t-shirt walks up and lays $40 in that hat and made eye contact with Christina. And when that happened, Paul and Chandler lost that connection that they had with her. And the man went around behind us and stopped at the light post beside, on the street corner beside us, just kind of propped up there. And I'm still having this dialogue with Jody, but watching and listening to what's going on. And occasionally, Christina would look that way. And after a few minutes, Paul and Chandler realized that they had lost the connection they had. So Paul asked if they could pray for her and her friends, and she said yes. And so we prayed with them and said goodbye and got up and walked away. And my heart the whole time was breaking, thinking, whose daughter is that? And does her parents know where she is? And what has happened to Jody to cause this repetition in her mind over and over again? And I would just encourage you, when God brings those two names, Jody and Christina, to your mind, pray for those two girls, because I know that the Holy Spirit was at work that morning. And Satan came in and dropped $40 in a hat. But you know what? Praise God. That's not the end of that story. I know it's not. Although I may never know until I see them in heaven, I know that somebody else is going to come along and water those seeds that were planted there on that Monday morning, and God is going to get the increase. I have to believe that, because I serve a God that is much greater and more powerful than a man with $40 dropping it into a hat.
So now you start to get a more vivid picture of some of the things that we participated, were able to be involved, however you'd like to word it, of a world that's broken. That may have been New Orleans, a larger city, but I want to share with you the same similar stuff happens right here in Union Grove, Alabama. Satan wants no one to come to Jesus. And it's a difficult task, a difficult path. But it's one we as Christ followers, we as His children are called, commanded to share and to follow. Brittany, would you come share with us a little more of some stories?
Well, it seems like everybody's sharing about the homeless ministry, but that's just because that's what was so shocking to everybody, because we were talking about it before we went out, and everybody was talking about how uncomfortable they were and how this was so out of their comfort zone. But then this was the thing that also made the most difference to everybody. It was the first day, like they had said, and we went out with granola bars and water and wet wipes and gospel tracts, and we were just going to share what, just going to see what God had out for us. And it was very different than I expected, because I'm used to Union Grove and everybody being very receptive of what we have to hear and just respecting us if they didn't care to hear. But when we went out, we encountered many different people, like Miss Tammy said, that didn't really want to hear what we had to say, and some that didn't want us to pray for them at all and didn't want to hear us pray for others, and just sort of, like she said, shoved the food back in our at us and our gospel tracts back at us once they had heard that we were going to preach at them. But because for me at least, and probably for a lot of other people, that was the first opposition that we had faced, because I'm not used to anything like that. But honestly, that was the most impactful thing, because we weren't the ones being rejected. It was, I mean, we got turned away and we got chewed off, but we were planting seeds and people are still there. People are still going back there from Mission Lab, and it's not over yet, and they're going to go back to those same people and water it, and God's still working there even though we left. And even though we were rejected, God's still in there. So just spoke to me.
No matter what takes place when you go in Union Grove, New Orleans, wherever, we can change nothing. Only God can do that. So if we had have gone and no one had been receptive, you know what? We were successful because we obeyed God. We did exactly what God had commanded us to do. But Ashley, come and share with us a story that you remember.
So like many others, I was terrified to go into the homeless ministry, because I was just sitting on the van, staring at the floor, praying like, God, please be with me. Please help us get our message across these people. And the song came on, and it's called Hills and Valleys, and these lyrics were, "You're God of the hills and valleys, and I'm not alone." And those lyrics just really spoke to me, because I knew that even though I was going outside my comfort zone, God has already been in New Orleans, and He still is, and that He was already working in these people. And so one of the stories that I remember was a man named Mario, and this was about the fourth or fifth person we went up to, and he spoke a different language, and so it was hard to get like our message across to him. But Brother Greg was telling him about the gospel, and he wanted to accept Christ as his Savior. So we prayed with him, and he accepted Christ that day. And we talked to many others who had already accepted Christ and were just like, I just knew God was with them through their like situation, and it was incredible to see. And that was definitely a highlight of the trip. Thank you.
We were ecstatic. And it was nothing that this team or Greg or anybody did. It was God at work. Because like she shared, It took me about 5 minutes to understand what his name was. He repeated it, and I'd say something, and no, that's not it. But through the conversation, evidently he understood how he understood me, because my second language is English myself. Other than that, I speak Southern slang. So people know me. But anyhow, it was amazing to see God at work. How we had just had our, if you will, our bubbles bursted by people saying no, by people running from us, by people saying, more or less saying, get away. Well, we don't want to hear it. And this gentleman, all of a sudden, it's like God knew, hey, they need a light. And they're sharing Christ. And this Mario accepted Christ as Savior. Church, that's what it's all about. We share our story. That's it. We share our story. God does the rest. He gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. He gives us the words to say when we arrive. He's already there before we ever get there. And when we plant, we water, but God alone gives the increase. Why is it I, Greg Gnarl, and we as a church have so much of a difficult time just saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And in the middle of chaos, a world with struggles and difficulties, and no matter what you're facing, I don't know, but you do and God does. He loves you right there where you are. And He loves you enough not to leave you where you are. First and foremost, He wants to save you from your sin, from your rejecting, from your rebellion, from whatever. Second of all, He wants to love you unconditionally. As our deacons come forward, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper at this time. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be remembering that we need to check our heart. I'm asking if you will to remove the cover. Remembering that we need to share our story. And it's not anything other than what Jesus has done. And we remember Him. Not self, not other person. We remember Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 shares with us how when we come at a moment like this and we remember remember what Jesus accomplished upon the cross, that we seek restoration. 1 John 1:9 shares that He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness if we repent and confess Him of our sins. Then He will cleanse us and restore us. The only prerequisite we have as a church is that you have surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're more than able to participate in the Lord's Supper. But before we begin, we want to have our hearts ready. We want to repent of our sins, and I'm leading the way. We want to ask God to restore us to a right relationship with Him. And we want to remember what He did upon the cross. So we're going to have a brief moment of silence, and you communicate with God. And then after a few moments, if you will, ask prayer for that.